This is 5 o'clock shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI in New York. I'm Robert Knight, and in today's program, we will have contemporaneous coverage of Oakland, California, where the Occupy movement was temporarily displaced from its quarters in front of the City Hall. There is a new encounter expected within 2 hours of this broadcast time when Occupy Oakland people are expected to reconverge at the site of this morning's eviction. Also today, we shall reveal an internal New York City Police Department memorandum regarding the tactics and instructions to the Disorder Control Unit. We'll also be taking a look at who are the occupiers of Oakland, as well as what are the political balances of power in regard to today's operation, which may not even be permanent. All of that coming up on today's edition of 5 O'Clock Shadow. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Earlier today in Oakland, California, there was yet another police action in which Oakland police, assisted by police and sheriffs and other law enforcement agencies from more than a half dozen nearby jurisdictions from Alameda County and elsewhere, converged upon City Hall, where there has been, since October 10th, the Occupy Oakland encampment. They removed temporary tents at a cost of millions of dollars. The efficacy of that move remains uncertain because within 2 hours of this broadcast, an even greater number of people is expected to assemble at the site for a regrouping and perhaps a retaking of the headquarters of the Oakland occupation. We monitored events this morning that began unfolding with the arrival of police phalanxes at about 5 a.m. local time. There had been concerns that the encounter would come even sooner than that, but it was at approximately 5 a.m. that the police came marching in, covered with body armor and carrying shields, and made their way to the Oakland occupation site in a park adjacent to City Hall. 36 people have been reported arrested so far, but the incident did not carry the same violence as the prior eviction of October 25th. We monitored these events and have this compilation from Actuality Sound contemporaneous with this morning's eviction, courtesy of Occupy Oakland and Global Revolution.
Officers have no badge numbers on, no badge numbers visible. That's a violation of state law.
What police department are they from?
San Leandro.
Okay, this is San Leandro Police. They do have names showing, which is a new one. Last time, most police officers that came out here a couple Wednesdays ago had tape over their names. We appreciate you showing your name tonight, even though we don't appreciate you being here in general. That's okay. It's all right. In the end.
Why are you guys here today?
We'll be back. You guys can kick us out, but we'll be back. Taxpayer dollars at work. So, let's go on out and make sure what we see here. We've got folks gearing up. You've got vinegar on your. Okay, good. If you need it, I've got Maalox rinse for your eyes. We'll spray them real quick. My suggestion, because your eyes don't have coverage, if it starts to fly, just go ahead, don't necessarily sprint or run uncontrollably, but just make your way away as quickly as you can. And oftentimes what happens, like you won't exactly be in the cloud, but you'll still get it, you know. The important thing is to focus and, you know, remember that it's not permanent, and that if you panic a little bit, it'll make it a little worse. Yeah, I mean, it's an acid powder, and so what the cure for it is an antacid, which is why we use Maalox. So just remember to remain calm, because I know. I mean, it's impossible not to be, but just remain a little bit calm, and you know, because if you get overly excited, it'll make it worse on you. Um, You'll be all right.
No, you'll be all right. Out here like this.
You'll be all right. I know. You're going to be all right, though. Don't even worry about it. I know it. I know it. It's kind of, it's just one of those things, you know? It's just important to concentrate on your breathing. And we'll go out here and talk to our medic real quick, see how he's doing. So they are setting up a perimeter, it looks like, down beyond Clay. They're just blocking it off. This is what you get when you put a tent up in a public park. This is what you get when you feed a community that was not being fed. This is what you get when you try to deliver services to those individuals swept under the rug by society. Yes.
I'm
hey,
the West Side.
All right, it's good to see you. Just out here with our medics. This is what you get. When you try to provide services to those individuals that aren't receiving services.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
We also
have reports that police are letting people leave.
Going east.
On 14th.
Sean didn't come out here for nothing, right?
I'm letting you know this.
Because
if you need to leave, that's the way you need to go.
Right now
is the time to decide what you want to do.
Mic check.
By the time the cat and mouse game has really got to effect,
all the businesses will start to open.
We can close them down. Just a suggestion.
Rush hour starts. I'm saying if in fact we get scattered, we start to move on, we can shut some dish down. That's all I'm saying.
What do you mean?
Thank you, Boots.
Woo! My check!
They're in a mood.
The more of us who stay.
Why do you say lose?
That'd be Mr. David Eden and Mr. Boots Riley.
I think we can do that!
Let's go!
people launching tear gas against us, and some people are trying to pick it up with gloves and throw it back. The idea with the buckets.
Well, we know for a fact that they did send out emails to parents of students in Oakland and urge them to keep their kids home or at least out of the downtown area.
Let's go Oakland!
And here they come. They're coming in on foot this time from, I guess that would be, I'm guessing I've got my my geography wrong. Here we go. Let's, let's catch them coming in. Here they come, batting down the hatches again. This is very different than the last time. The last time people battened down the camp. This time, because people were in the intersection, I'm guessing that they're coming in differently. Now that would definitely be the police chopper, because they're the ones with the spotlights going. So 5 a.m. See what kind of ammo they're brandishing this time. Lots and lots of billy clubs. Take up the rear of them here. Careful. These would seem to be the contingent of Alameda County sheriffs that they are paying $1,000 a day for. I see a mix of sheriffs and police. They definitely do not have any badge numbers present. There's no numbers on their helmets like they had before. This is a very different situation than I've seen. I can't see names. I don't see anything. They're in completely all black. They have no identification showing. This should all be reported to the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild. This is all in violation of statute and procedure of all of the police departments. Probably can't pick it up on camera, but they are completely all in black. They do have shields on their arms, but they are definitely not showing any numbers on their helmets. Their helmets are totally black. There's no numbers. I see maybe one name on there, but I couldn't catch it. This is very different than I've seen before. Before, I've been able to read off badge numbers or helmet numbers. That guy staring right at me there, I see no identification whatsoever. Just the shields of whatever department they're from on their upper arms, and that's about it. So, they definitely do not want to be identified. A couple had their or some sort of body shielding, and definitely no helmet numbers as before. Kind of makes my blood start to pump a little bit faster and wondering why they got to hide who they are. name down that way, but my eyes aren't good enough in this light to be able to read it. It seems now that people are starting to move in front of them. There goes the OPD chopper, or whatever mutual aid chopper they called in. There's definitely no announcement of what a safe area is. They're not telling us anything. They have not said what they expect of anybody. Before, during the last raid, they came in with the LRAD at least. They had a bullhorn of the long-range acoustic device that they used as a bullhorn to let everybody know that whoever was in the park was going to be arrested. They're not doing anything. They're not giving any orders to anybody. They're just standing here. Most of them have all of their names covered, the majority of them, standing there brandishing their billy clubs. Instead of the white zipper handcuffs that they usually have this time, they're definitely all in black. Even black zip cuffs. Everybody's noticing that they've all got their names covered, all their badges, numbers covered, except for a couple. Complete violation of procedure. I'm guessing this doesn't bode well.
And that, the sounds from earlier today at approximately 5 a.m. local time in Oakland, California, when the city of Oakland evicted the occupation in front of City Hall. The outcome of that action, in which 36 people were evicted from the tents and other occupation sites near the capital of the city, remains to be seen, because there is intended to be an even more massive gathering of supporters of the Oakland occupation movement later this evening, within the next 90 minutes. And we will here at WBAI and Pacifica keep our eye and ear on such developments. Observers of police actions against demonstrations, and in particular most recently the Occupy movement, may have been taken by the similarity of costume and of tactics, with the police phalanxes having similar body armor, from their shin guards to the plexiglass helmets, body shields, and armor. The similarity of the technical, tactical issues of police enforcement of demonstrations may have its roots in the intervention of the Department of Homeland Security, where in Oakland today there were agents of Homeland Security looking down on the encampment from buildings nearby. There is also a national and international coordination of police enforcement efforts. And recently, the New York City Police Department, in the month of August, held a drill with hundreds of police from the various command districts in New York City. They called it an exercise in mobilization awareness. It took place on Randall's Island. The New York City Police Department has also been in liaison with other agencies, not only across the country and federally, but with such institutions as Scotland Yard, where former New York City Police Department Chief Bill Bratton has liaised as consultant for comparing notes on the disturbances that recently happened in London, as well as those that are emerging across the United States and perhaps it's safe to say around the world. The tactics of police in confrontation with demonstrators have been codified to a certain extent. Your reporter has recently obtained an internal undated police department memorandum of the group that is called the Disorder Control Unit, which is responsible for tactical operations in the event of disturbances, as well as having a cybernetic side which monitors Twitter, Facebook, and other social media that are believed to be instrumental in the coordination of demonstrations. At this time here on 5 O'Clock Shadow, we now present to you a mechanical transcription of the exact wording of this New York City Police Department Disorder Control Unit memorandum, which addresses tactics, attitudes, behaviors, and goals and strategies of police encounters with so-called disorders.
New York Police Department Disorder Control Unit. Disorder Control General Assignment Guidelines and Tactics for Police Officers while assigned to a civil disorder incident. Your appearance is critical. The initial impression we make upon disorderly and violent groups has a profound effect on the outcome of the incident. Therefore, ensure your uniform and required equipment are neat and in proper working condition. Always have disorder control equipment, including helmet and baton, ready for immediate use. A strong military appearance, with sharp and precise movements, is a force multiplier and a psychological advantage to us. Follow direction of your supervisor. Do not act independently, work as a team. Use minimum force necessary to achieve the objectives. Be tolerant of verbal abuse, crowds may attempt to provoke you. When advancing a disorder situation, stay in formation. While in formation, keep one arm's length distance between you and the adjoining officer. Utilize on-guard stance in line and wedge formations. Clearly distinguish between participants to be arrested and innocent passers-by and onlookers. Be aware of dangers from high ground, that is, so-called airmail. Maintain firearms discipline. Never become complacent. Do not break formation or act independently. Think team. Do not enter rooftops or alleys alone, or when in civilian clothes, except when ordered by supervisor. Do not engage in unnecessary conversation. Do not congregate with other officers on post. Do not make unauthorized radio transmissions. Do not abandon your post, unless authorized by a supervisor. If authorized to leave post, ensure your direct supervisor knows your location, and has a method of contact for you. Do not engage in unauthorized pursuits of looters or bottle throwers. Let people escape, unless your team is effecting arrests. Repeating. Your appearance is critical. The initial impression we make upon disorderly and violent groups has a profound effect on the outcome of the incident. Therefore, ensure your uniform and required equipment are neat and in proper working condition. Always have disorder control equipment, including helmet and baton, ready for immediate use. A strong military appearance, with sharp and precise movements, is a force multiplier and a psychological advantage to us. These are the Disorder Control General Assignment Guidelines and Tactics for Police Officers, while assigned to a civil disorder incident. From the Disorder Control Unit of the New York Police Department.
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and recognizing the utility of balance, we now present yet another reading of injunctions, mandates, or instructions, not for the police department, as we just heard, with an internal undated memorandum from the New York City Police Department Disorder Control Unit, but this time for the 99% represented by the occupation movement.
Desiderata by Max Ehrman. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter. For always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. be yourself. Especially do not feign affection, neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Be on a wholesome discipline. Be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy.
Two orders of the day. One, an internal, undated memorandum of the New York City Police Department Disorder Control Unit obtained by your reporter. And second, desiderata for the 99% of the occupation movements in Oakland, Wall Street, across the country, and around the world. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York. And several days ago, there was a tragic incident proximate to the Oakland occupation, in which an altercation resulted in the fatal shooting during an encounter near, not at, but near the Oakland occupation site. The event galvanized people of many different persuasions who came together for the Oakland occupation, and the Oakland occupation movement spoke with people on the evening of that tragic event. And we hear now some of the actual sensitivities and motivations of the people involved in the Oakland occupation.
Anytime that there's a life lost, it grieves my spirit. You know, and in Oakland, it grieves my spirit because of the death toll of young black African Americans.
The reality is that this is a new community in Oakland. And with every community in Oakland, there are problems with gun violence. That it happened here is just a reminder of where we are and the realities of what people live every single day. I think that they could use that or any other excuse they wanted to come in and shut it down. But it's dishonest in the extreme to say that this is commonplace and this kind of activity is commonplace in the camp.
Crime and murder is another symptom of the fact that there's poverty, there's undereducated people, and there's a lack of opportunity. And that's why that happened. That's the bigger issue that they skate by and they say it's just because they're out here.
We know this is not what we're about. We preach that time and time again. It's unfortunate that it happened here, but it did happen. But you know what? We're going to still send our love to the family and we're going to move forward because we don't want that death in vain.
There were people that banded around this person that had been shot in the head twice, and they linked arms, and they tried to protect his space and his dignity as much as possible. There were medics that were on the ground that gave him as much medical attention as they could until the ambulance got here.
Basically, how we responded is an example of what community is, and I would like that to expand. But we still are on the streets, and luckily we have medics, and luckily we have people dedicated to helping people in emergencies.
Personally, I've been really inspired to see the ways that people have come together and supported each other, like placing candles out. I've seen people like hugging and going to like talk to people to sort of mourn the loss for the people that saw it. Just been really amazed with the peaceful response. Like, I've seen a lot of people also, when little conflicts arise, like just immediately stepping in and like calming things down. So I've been really impressed by everybody here.
People getting shot and murdered in Oakland is a very common event, and I think we just need to pay respect and realize that it's a thing that happens all the time. And it's annoying that the media is so focused on this shooting because it was here when people get raped and murdered and kidnapped all the time. So that really ticks me off. They need to turn the lights on because it's a huge safety issue, and they're completely disrespecting us right now, pretty much. and they're not looking out for us.
The city took off our lights, took the lights off, and so inside the encampment, outside of the community, around the city, the grid is working and there's lights. Inside the camp, there's no lights, which creates a serious health and public safety issue. You're hurting people. You're putting their lives in danger and creating an air of fear, a fear that's not necessary just because you turn the lights off, and you know it. So why don't you turn the lights on so people can feel safe? Because that's what you complain about. That's what the state complains about. That's what the city complains about, safety. No lights in this encampment is a safety issue, and people will get hurt if you don't turn them on.
There has been safety and health issues as far as the lights being on around the camp in order to see and know what's going on.
How contradicting is that? You're concerned about safety, but yet you have cut the lights off in one of the most vicious cities in America.
This is a community where people like care about what your burdens are and how they can contribute to that and how we can all work together. We're all trying to figure out solutions to other people's problems. We're talking to people that come from places that we've never been as far as like where they're at, and it's creating compassion and empathy. I've never experienced anything like this.
Community. One of the things that's missing in our society is any sense of tribe. And when we come down here and we meet each other and go face to face and talk about these difficult issues, you find out that people that you never would have thought about before have a whole lot to say to you, and it's important just to listen. That's what I get out of it, is a sense of community and tribe.
Occupy Oakland has truthfully given me value and able to use all my skills. My conflict resolution skills is being a bouncer, my intellect of being in the military, my entertainment skills of being to be able to host and know how to conduct parties, my social interaction. Everything that I do on a normal basis has been enhanced because I'm able to use all my skills and deal with people. I'm able to have intelligent conversations. I'm able to help people that don't normally get help. I'm able to mentor young men that didn't have no father figure or brother to look up to. I'm able to be around a community where people see my actions and see that I'm genuine, and I get to see other genuine people, and we get to work together. And we don't have to go for no interview to do that. That's what makes it important. You don't have to go apply to be useful to society. You just come down here and become useful to society.
You want some bread? I've learned to love Oakland because I lived here for the last year, and I felt very alienated, and I felt like people weren't interested in fighting the good fight. And since I've been here, since the beginning on October 10th, I have made friends. I feel like I'm part of a real community. I feel connected to a place, and I really see that people in Oakland are willing to struggle and fight for what they believe in.
I feel like the movement in general, it teaches me, it has taught me, is you can't think about yourself. I mean, you have to think about other people too. You can't have a closed mind. I think the 1% thinks about themselves and they're closed-minded.
Just meeting all kind of people and understanding their nature and how their upbringing and their dispositions, we're all one family and will continue to be one. So power to the people. Don't give up. This is only a faux pas, but this stops nothing.
Don't be dismayed by what they hear and what they see from the outside. Go amongst the people of Occupy Oakland, and you'll see that there's a lot of love, there's a peace, a spirit of peace. They're not aliens. They're hardworking Americans. You know, they're your daughters, they're your sons, they're your fathers, they're your husbands, they're your wives, they're your family.
Try to come. Don't let this disparage you from coming, because you'll see what more beauty that we have inside than all the casualties that are going on, outside. You basically don't show up, you lose out on an experience. So I encourage you to get that experience, because it'll help you in the long run and in the future of what's going to happen to this country.
To people that have never been here, I say that before you let the news guide you and let public opinion sway you, come down here, come to a GA, have a conversation, come to a meeting, and actually talk to some of the people here and see if it fits and if it resonates with you. This is about your heart, so if you feel in your heart, do it. If you don't, go home and watch it on the news, or help, send support, cook some food, throw an event. Have your group come down. Have your social network come down here and experience this, because it's about you. It's about understanding that we're all here together, and there's a small group of people that control a lot. So if we all come together, we control the whole world.
The sounds of the Oakland occupation, where today the center of the Oakland occupation was evicted, tents dismantled and removed by a massive multi-million dollar coalition of local police and sheriff's officials ordered in by the mayor of Oakland. The largest action since the evictions and abuse of protesters during October 25th. One of the consequences of the mayor's action is the resignation of her longtime friend and loyal advisor, Dan Siegel, who for nearly a month supported her actions, although he publicly said that the police action on October 25th was improper. But he stayed and did not until today announce his resignation on a tweet calling the events today tragically unnecessary. As a matter of disclosure, we acknowledge that Dan Siegel is a former board participant and executive director of the institution that owns and operates this radio station. And the political consequences for Mayor Kwan of Oakland remain yet to be seen. It appears that she may herself be the one evicted during the next election. The perplexity of the timing and extent and durability of today's action raises questions about why, indeed, it did happen. Perhaps one possibility is that tomorrow there is scheduled a special election in Oakland where ballot measures I and J would take the city attorney's position out of the election process and allow the mayor herself or himself to choose the city attorney. Civil libertarians say that would simply make the advisors beholden to the political process and thereby reluctant to go against officials who may be perceived as having committed malfeasance. Also, in tomorrow's Oakland ballot is a measure that would give the mayor increasing control of the city budget. But many citizens of Oakland are opposed to that, such as this one, who spoke explicitly to Mayor Kwan's attempt to take over the budget and spend more money for what many see as needless police operations.
What you got to say to the world?
Three things. One, this is Oakland.
All right.
Two, strategically, all they're doing is making the growth virus of freedom metastasize. First time they ran people out was 300, it came back 1,000. All they're going to do is spread all these people to all these other parks and public property that Oakland owns. Oakland is the largest property on the East Bay. That's what's going to happen. So do you really want the same people down here up in Oakland Hills at their briefing center? Do you want them at their concert center and their feng shui camp over on Lakeshore?
I just drove by there.
Yeah, I guess they want people over there.
Hey, they got one tent. They got one tent, but they occupying. They occupying hard,
hey,
man.
They're going to be at the restaurant at the Boathouse tomorrow.
Yes.
Do you really want to do that, City of Oakland? Hey, I guess so.
Hey, and number three?
Number three, we know that on the 15th, I got my ballot right here. The mayor's got a ballot initiative to give her discretionary control of the budget. Now, I thought that meant cutting no cop stuff. But since her crazy, say, spending all this money on crops, you don't get to control the budget. Nah. You don't get that. So since you want to spend $5-3 million instead on schools on fecal cops, no, Nathan. Even the Asian business people is against your ass.
Hey, Gene Kwan, your political career is over.
Bitch, if you're lucky, you don't have to worry about people looking around in Oakland. You may run your ass up out of town.
A commentary from the Oakland occupation earlier today about the political manipulations that may be involved in the timing of today's raid on the Oakland occupation. In the face of tomorrow's special election that puts up for a vote, the granting to the mayor of extraordinarily increased political and financial powers. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network. I'm Robert Knight in New York. And just to recap the fast-breaking events of the day, at approximately 5 a.m. local time, police marched upon the Oakland occupation in front of City Hall. there was not a repeat of the tear gas and the ballistic bullets that are described as rubber, although they are sometimes steel-lined or steel-cored. They're made of hard plastic, although they're called rubber bullets, and they do inflict grievous injuries. As to the United States military veteran, Scott Olson, who endured brain trauma as a result of being hit by it, and our own correspondent, Scott Campbell, who during that event was also shot by such a bullet needlessly as he stood some 20 or 30 feet away merely filming the police activities. Today's operation was different because most of the police, according to on-scene reports, were unidentified. Their badges, their identification numbers were not visible, and many of the veterans of prior actions say that was a change in behavior. During the first event, Mayor Gene Kwan claimed that she was unaware of the logistics of the operation, and she went out of town to Washington, D.C. on such a precipitous day. This time, she says that it's important to clean up the park. That is a theme that is being used in many places across the country, most vividly today in Portland, Oregon, where leader of the occupation, or a non-leader of the occupation, was seriously beaten by police. The issue today is how people will reassemble. Within 1 hour from now is a scheduled reconvening of more people to perhaps reoccupy the Oakland occupation site. As of the latest reports, that site is surrounded and buttressed by police, and the events of the remainder of this evening remain unknown. But here at Pacifica and WBAI, we shall continue covering such things on the Occupy Wall Street program at 6:30 and the WBAI Evening News, which follows this program. And we thank you for listening. We thank Michael G. Haskins for engineering. And if you'd like to be in touch, send us an email to theshadow, T-H-E-S-H-A-D-O-W, at WBAI.org, or drop a note to 5 o'clock shadow, 120 Wall Street, New York, 10005. And for 5 o'clock shadow, I'm Robert Knight in New York.
This is what you get. We need to try to provide services to those individuals that aren't receiving services.
On Broadway. We also have reports that police are letting people leave.
Are letting people leave.
Going east.